the life of Jesus Christ, and that is in the early morning while it was still dark, he would arise. He would get up, he would go out to a lonely place, and there he'd pray. And so when a crisis came along, they didn't know where he was. Guess what they assumed? He's praying. And what we've found over the last few years, it is worth spending time on Sunday addressing the subject of how to spend extended time with God. Like Mr. Sanney just told us, that time that you get away this week with your Bible and your notebook and you spend some time up in the hills seeking the Father may be one of the most significant things you do this week. You may, in fact, I just visited with someone a few minutes ago during the break who, his sophomore year, built him a chair up in the mountains. It's his secret little place. He's the only one that knows where that particular arrangement of rocks happens to be. And he goes there every year. I wonder if I were to ask that student, what were the messages that were spoken and the outlines and the references used in those messages his sophomore year when he was at the Glen? I don't know if he'd be able to tell me. But there is one thing he recalls, and that is that he got away to spend some extended time with God. And we want to challenge you with that this week, and we want to give you some help on how to do it. What do I mean when I talk about extended time with God? Basically, extended time with God is longer than you would normally spend. How's that for an intelligent definition? If you're used to spending 20 minutes with God, extended time might be a whole hour. If you're used to spending an hour, extended time might be an afternoon. What a pity it would be to spend an entire week at Glen Eyrie and to go away and not have taken advantage of the schedule which has been given to you so that you can go and meet the Father in ways that you wouldn't normally meet Him. I've invited three students from the OU campus just to come and to share some things about what they've done. So you're hearing students telling about it instead of a staff member telling you about it. So I'm going to ask Christy Callahan, Alicia Forgy, and then Curtis Ivanoff to... Boy. Yeah, it's George Callahan did that, wasn't it? Christy, why don't you come and share with us a little bit about some time you've spent with the Lord. And while she's coming up, if you're serving the meal, why don't you feel free to step out and prepare for that. Christy? Yeah, just hold it.
Okay. Well, my name is Christy Callaway. And I am a graduate of the University of Oklahoma. And I was right where you are when I was a freshman hearing about extended time with God. And it was a very new concept to think about going out and spending a long time. And it was kind of intimidating at first. What would I do? But I, like Dave said, I think that was probably one of the most significant things that I've heard in my 5 years around the BSU and has really made more of an impact, I think, on me in becoming more intimate with God than anything else. And I'd like to use an illustration, just how I approach my time with God. And I'd like to use the illustration of my best friend and I. Cindy and I don't get a whole lot of time together during the week. We see each other here and there, maybe 20, 30 minutes. And those are really fun times, important. We kind of catch up. But when we get a couple hours together, that's really when we share our hearts and find out really what's going on. And those times during the week, they're not insignificant. They're very significant. But boy, we love and cherish those times we can spend and just talk. And I really see that. The similar situation with God. I try to spend time with God every day during the week, and those times are very precious. But what's really fun is when I can sit down with God for a couple of 3 hours and just share my heart with Him and let Him share His heart with me in a kind of a concentrated time. So a lot of things that I do, I approach in that situation, just like when I see Cynthia, it's like there's so much to catch up on, and with God, I'm like, God, there's so much that we need to catch up on. A lot of things I like to do, first of all, just practically, if you are thinking, what do? Some things that I do is I like to take my journal and just write down a prayer, basically, things that are going on. For me, it helps me to see it on paper, and I feel like, and it's real helpful to go back. And so I'll take my journal and write down some things that I'm really thinking through. Personally, I like to study. I really like to get into the Word and study, and maybe something, a character quality that God's really working on, to find out what does God's Word say about that. And so I'll pull out my concordances and my commentaries and really dig into the Word. And I really enjoy that, and I feel like God can really speak to me. In fact, some of the times, like Dave said, that I remember more than any of the messages or sermons at Glen Eyrie are things that God spoke to me just individually while I was here at the Glen. I remember one year I really felt like I had made some decisions where God was not my first love. And I really wanted to see what did it mean to love God and love Him wholeheartedly. So I did a big study on wholeheartedness. And that study, those truths have carried me through for 4 years. Also, I like to take my verses that I memorized and review them, but more than just review them, pray through, God, give me a fresh perspective of this verse in my life right now. How does this apply to me? And I'll make notes of that, and that's real helpful. Also, a lot of times we have a tendency to go to God and just throw all this stuff at Him that we really need and yet forget to really focus on Him. And it's helped me when I first sit down with time with God, it's just to focus on who He is and thank Him and really just try to enjoy being in His presence. When I first started spending time with God, it was kind of hard. I didn't know what to do. And something that really helped me is a friend of mine, we used to go and have what we call double dates with God. We'd get together, we'd talk about some things we wanted to do, we'd separate and do this and come back and share what God had spoken to us. And that really helped because we got some ideas about how to encourage each other and how to approach God in those times. And so if you're looking at this kind of intimidating, find someone else who maybe spent time with God before and go with them and have them help you. If I could leave really one thing with you, it would be to challenge you not just to make extended time with God something you do just here at the Glen. Once a year you get extended time with God. Because what I've learned is as I do that on a consistent basis, it is so rich and my life is just getting to know God in an intimate way. It's very valuable. And so as you spend time with God here at the Glen, really make it a priority to do that once you go back to school. I think it'll make a big difference. And now Alicia Forgy is going to come.
My name is Alicia Forgy, and I'm a junior at OU. Hopefully, I will graduate one of these days, be able to stand up here and say I made it. I'm probably, he's taking pictures. I'm a lot less structured than Christy, just because it seems like when I'm at school, you've got work, and you've got school, and you've got church, and you've got BSU, and there's so much routine, and there's so much schedule. And when I get here, I try to just really throw away the schedules, really throw away the time constraints. I put away my watch. Realistically, I heard Dave Edwards say my freshman year 2 years ago that you know God as much as you choose to know God. And, you know, if that choice is going to bed early so you can get up early, and setting up, you know, just setting aside some time for God, because I can't think of anything that Satan would rather do than to crowd this week out like he does all our other weeks when we're at school. So, like Christy, I take my journal, I take my notebook, I take my pen and paper and stuff like that. But my good friend that I talk to, when I get with her, I'm like, you know, hey, here's what's going on in my life. Now, what do you want to talk about? What's going on in your life? And it seems that so many times we come to God and it's like, okay, God, here's what's going on with me. I need these solutions. I need these answers. I need these plans settled. And very rarely do I take the time out to say, God, what do you want to talk about? You know, what do you want to impact in on my life? And so a prayer for this week for me is just to put away the watches, put away the time constraints, put away the schedules, the plans that I think need to be made, the answers that I think need to be made, and the solutions that I think I need to get. And just to seek God's face, to sit at His feet and say, what do you want to talk about? What do you want to do in my life? And what are some of those things that you've wanted to be communicating to me for so long, and I haven't taken the time to listen because I've been so busy doing the routine stuff that's at school. And just to be really vegging, just to see what God wants to talk about and just sit at His feet and seek His heart and seek His face. And here's Curtis.
It's pretty cool. I've never been wired here before. I've stood in this golden circle once. This is number two. So, well, my name is Curtis Ivanoff. I'm a senior, University of Oklahoma. I'm a math major. Extended time of God. What is it? Like I said, I'm a math major, and so I have a math formula for it. the Word of God plus prayer plus the acknowledgement of God's presence, multiply that by time, that's extended time with God. Or there's a Steve Fast method. I could look it up in the dictionary, and I didn't look it up and do it verbatim, but I think it probably would say something like a prolonging of being in the presence of our Father. And so that's what it is to me. It's just time to go out to be with my Father. And I think it's one of those bad kind of things. I mean, everybody's kind of like, well, do I do it right? Am I doing it right? So I thought, as I was thinking about my testimony, I was thinking, okay, I'm going to say that, you know, just it's your own personal thing. It's not something that there's a standard set formula, even though I have a math formula for it now. it's something that you just go out and you've got to do it. I began to think, well, goodness, am I doing it right? You know, it was just kind of funny as I thought about that. It's kind of like my math theory classes. You know, everybody, I mean, all these theoretical things we have to prove. Who knows how to do it? Well, you've just got to go out and do it. It's a simple thing. My aunt is here today, and I'm going to get to spend some extended time with her, just getting to be with her. And no one has ever seen God, the only Son, who's in the bosom of the Father. He has made him known. So what do? I get my Bible, a notebook. I go out with a pure heart, eager to hear God. God said that, but this is the man to whom I will look. He is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. And so I go out knowing that God is in my presence and that he's eager to draw near to me. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. It's just something simple. You've got to go out and do it. Where do I go? I love nature. And if there was a place that God was at and you had to go and meet him, I think it would be Unalakleet, Alaska. That's where I'm from. with Glen Eyre coming in a close second. But that would be, I think that would be the place that God would choose. But luckily he doesn't. I can spend time with God in my room. I've done that many times. And I love going out. I can remember one time sitting at the bank of a river at this Bible camp during the summertime back home. And sitting and looking at the river, just watching it flow by. You ever done that? Watch a river flow by. And just try to fathom the amount of water going by. And you know, that's God has given us living water, and it's just flowing out of us. And you know, I've got a river of life flowing out of me, just meditating on those truths. And so I love being in nature. God's going to meet you wherever you go, though. And so you've just got to go and meet with him and draw near to him, and he'll draw near to you. Someone asked me today, just right before this first session, question for the day, how are you going to take all of this stuff home? Glen Eyre, you know, how are you going to take it home? Well, I think my answer was just to take lots of notes. And some of the things, but I said, you're going to take it home. But I think that what you're going to take home is the time that you spend with God. And so I'm encouraging and challenging you to get out there and spend some time with him in word and in prayer and the acknowledgement of his presence and multiply that by time. And I challenge you to do that and to carry that on when you get back to campus. Thank you.
Let me just give you some ideas that might be helpful for you. You've already heard a variety of things about what people do, and they're all valid. And I think that's one of the things we wanted you to hear, is that there is not necessarily a set formula or set way of doing it. However, I think there's some common sense things that can, by doing these things, can help you have a successful time instead of a frustrating time. And so that's what I want to share with you now, is just some ideas, some thoughts that will help you. And one is to decide on a time when you're going to do it. Because with as much activity as is going on around here in as close a quarters, even though there's, you know, there's terrible square miles here, we're pretty much all on the grounds. And if you don't set some time because of everything else that's going on, something else will take that time from you. And so in a few minutes, I'm going to give you an opportunity to look over the program and determine, hey, this is when I'd like to spend some time with God, if you so choose. And then you can trust him for that. Jesus did have some interruptions in his time with the Father, and he handled them peacefully. And you can do the very same thing. You don't have to get mad because you got an interruption. But to the degree possible, you can set a time. Jesus, in the early morning, went out. And so he decided that the night before. And I believe those times that he spent all night in prayer and other times, he knew beforehand he was going to do it. Then choose what I would call a suitable place. Now, you've already heard a variety of preferences or what people do in their time with God. Curtis likes nature. So if he's going to go get some time with God, he's likely going to go up the valley up here, or he's going to go walking down the road. Bob Anderson last night, what did he do? Went jogging. Now take your verse pack with you if you do, so you can wave it at that guy there at the gate. But some people like roads. If you're going to study, like Christy described, you know, the side of a mountain may not be the best place to be spreading out your paper and your couple of different translations and a concordance, if you even get that far. So, you know, just some common sense would say, find a place where there's a table, there's room for you to do that. So, choose a place that is suitable for what you intend to do during that time. And here's a couple of other things. Find a place that is likely free of distractions. There's probably no perfect place, but if there are some places, likely free of distractions. I found out, for me, to have extended time with God, I'm very distracted by libraries. Though they're quiet, I'm very distracted by that kind of silence. And so I go to McDonald's. And there's racket, music playing in the background, and people talking in the booth. But I'm not distracted by that, and there's something, I don't know why that is, but I've just come to know me. What's suitable for you, and what's least distracting? But also, find a place that will free you from the concern of calling attention to yourself. Now keep in mind, at campgrounds like this, people are going to see you. Don't worry about whether you're seen, but for some of you, if you enjoy, like me, I like when I'm praying, I like to be rather expressive, like with my hands and my arms, things like that. Now, I'm very conscious of, is anybody watching? And if that's true for you, then go to some place where it's least likely that you're occupied with that concern, that worry about, is somebody watching? Because then what you're caught with is the fear of man instead of the fear of God. So there's why a place is very important. Now have a purpose when you go. Now choose this beforehand, and it'll help you have a more effective time. Now here's one simple question that I ask myself. That is, when I come back, what do I hope to have found? Jesus said, seek and you will find. So if you want to find something, you seek it. Yesterday on the trip here, one of the children lost their money at a McDonald's, and so all of us start looking around. Now, there were a lot of things in the van that we, and underneath the seats that you find, and stuck back in the crevices. But we didn't care about those other things. That wasn't what we were looking for. What were we looking for? The child's money, and we found it. So if you look for something, you're likely to find it. If you just go to, well, here I am, God, for an hour and a half. Well, you may not find that. Even if what you need is what Alicia described as just some kind of free time, know that when you go. Know that you want to have some release from the pressure of schedule. And so I'd encourage you to ask the question, when I come back, what do I want to have found? Now, don't obligate God to that. He might give you something instead or something more. But at least you go with a seeking heart. So, do you want wisdom on some decision you're about to make concerning the future? Do you need to do some intercession or spiritual warfare? Need to just do some prayer, meditation, reflection? Do you need freedom from some wrong attitude? And so, God, I need to work through this problem. Or do you need to recommit your life to your goals? You may want to review some of the messages and some of the things that you've heard. But go with something in mind, and then have a plan that's suited to your place and your purpose. I've already mentioned that if you want to do some study, then an evening stroll up in the canyon up here isn't going to be very useful. You can't see because there's no light. There's no place to spread out your material. So have some places suitable for that. And another thing about a plan I find helpful, if I'm looking for something in the Scripture, I find it useful to already know where in the Bible I'm going to be looking, and maybe have some passages already picked out before I go, so I don't have to spend that time fumbling around looking for that. I already know what I'm starting with, and I can maximize my time with Him. Take some paper, take a pencil, pen, something that you can write with. If you're praying, take a prayer list. Sometimes it's useful to take a book. Some authors, reading them can be very, very, very encouraging just in your time with the Lord. And so take a book along. Sometimes if you're going to be away for very long, you may even want to take some form of refreshment, whether it's a little can of juice, some water, something like that, so that you have a plan for while you're there. Now let me just make a comment in closing about what if this is your first time? What if the first time you've been to the Glen, or first time you've ever thought about, boy, an hour with God, or something like that. I wouldn't have known what to do. So Christy, I think, gave a really good illustration when she talked about having a double date with God. Let me just kind of review some of those basic ideas, and they might be helpful if this is your first time. You might want to have an older Christian go with you, or somebody that's this is their first time, but where there's someone doing it with you. You know, Jesus, His extended time with God was not always alone. Gethsemane, He wasn't alone. And so take someone with you. Talk about what the two of you want to do. Or it may be a Bible study from K-State or Emporia. You may just say, hey, we're going to go spend some time. And so all of you go, and then you find your place. You spend some time praying. And then you split up. And you spend a defined amount of time alone. Now, one thing that might be helpful here is if you all have a passage of Scripture. I want to do something sometime with my team this week, and there's a passage of Scripture I will likely use. And if we all have that in common, then we're looking for something together, so when we come back, we also benefit from what God said to other people in that group. Then split up, take 30, 45 minutes to study that passage, pray over that passage, write down notes on that, come back together and share your observations. There's something exciting about knowing that other people are listening to what God said to you. And then pray over the implications of what you've learned from Him. I think it'd be exciting if in your lifetime there became a frustrating pattern in your life. That when people were looking for you, that when they looked around and couldn't find your Bible in your dorm room or the book that you've been reading lately, that they have to assume Jennifer or John has left to spend extended time with God, and we'll just have to wait until they get back.